so, yeah.
You give him a chance to respond to that question.
Yeah, this is the question I'm going to ask you now.
I'd like to respond to the same question.
Okay, please, go ahead.
Well, my astute colleague, the heavyweight champion of the world, very diplomatic individual, I'm perhaps not quite so diplomatic. In fact, to find your question...
Not quite diplomatic.
Your remarks, insulting to what I do. Physically, no man can do what I do in the ring. If they could, why wouldn't they be out there making the type of money we make, enjoy the type of fame and lifestyle that we enjoy?
Tell them, Vader.
That money and fame.
Your question insulting.
It's not my question. It's somebody being too
difficult. Does that fucking feel fake, huh? Does that feel fake? Hey.
Is that real?
Does it?
Oh, no, no. Just.
Why don't you come down tonight, and before I kick his ass, I'll kick your ass.
Okay,
all right.
Just calm down.
Don't, hey, we're not here to be insulted. I'm not here to be insulted.
It's time!
It's Vader time!
That's right. Vader wasn't here for y'all shit.
Hell nah. He was real 100%.
Yo, yo, yo. This is T-Call.
Yo, check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Neo X.
And you're here again for another episode of the
Mat Mania podcast.
And yeah, that was a sound bite from Vader almost fucking somebody up on a TV like newscaster.
Do you have source material for that?
Yeah, I mean like the video that it came from.
Yeah,
I saw it on YouTube. Oh, like, okay. Actual video footage of it.
Woo. I remember I was listening to the this is a while back. I was listening to the Something to Wrestle With podcast, and they did an episode about Big Van Vader. And, like when he was doing interviews and whatnot, he pulled no punches. He was 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, he was, like, he was primarily, you know, in Japan and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
He, like, one of those guys, like, that developed, like, the strong style attitude and things like that. And, like, he would tell people to, like, get out. Like cameramen and stuff who are like in the dressing rooms and stuff like that.
Get out of my way.
he's like what Jericho is today in New Japan. I'll say that.
And he reminds me of like a luchador as far as like wearing the mask.
Yeah.
Like be out in a suit with the mask on, you know?
Fucking Leon walking around with a mask, keeping that mystique going.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
I read today that the same person that came up with like Jushin Liger's image came up with Vader's image
when he wore the Mastodon gimmick.
Yeah,
in New Japan. Mm-hmm. Woo, that's cold. He basically wore like this like mecha suit type armor with that embodied a Mastodon. It was like silver and it had like an elephant gimmick.
Oh yeah,
with like spiked shoulder pads. And like a long trunk.
Shot smoke out of it and stuff and all that. I'm getting that.
Nostalgic over here.
I'm going to get it tattooed on me. I'm going to get the Mastodon helmet mask tattooed on
me. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. We'll post that on the Mat Media Pod.
But I always wanted to get it in today, solidified it.
For those of you who do not know.
It's kind of a sad beginning to the podcast because we've
really
got to say
is.
RIP to one of the best
pioneers.
Big men
in wrestling. Absolutely. Big Van Vader, he revolutionized how big men are seen in pro wrestling / pro sports entertainment. And he's actually one of those wrestlers who had that crossover appeal as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, because he was in TV. I remember watching him in Boy Meets World.
Everybody,
you know,
everybody remembers him in that.
Yeah. So he had crossover appeal, and I remember he did do some movies, but at the same time, he was in WCW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and in the WWF.
And he should have went so much further in the WWF. I don't want to get into all the politics and stuff about it that people talk about, but you know, he kind of got like pigeonholed because other people had more star power than him.
Yeah.
And you know, didn't want to take the fall or didn't want to take the strong hits or whatever from him. So.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. Like he was, you know, with being because WWF at the time was, well, and probably still is, very political. he might not have had a certain image that, you know, Vince was used to.
Yeah.
Right?
But you would think, like, I mean, he fought, well, that was in WCW, I think. But I mean, but they were still in WWF at the same time, like him, Mankind, like Undertaker, like, and you got Kane, like he fits in all of that.
Yeah. And you know, oddly enough, like he and Cactus Jack had a program in WCW.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, where his ear got torn off.
Yeah, torn off the rope. So let's start it off like this. Do you have any memorable Big Van Vader memories or matches?
Well, I actually got to meet him, so that's my
yo word.
That's gonna be my fondest memory.
Yo, did you? You should repost that on the Instagram.
I didn't post it on the Matt Mania's Instagram, but I posted it on mine today. Yeah. So I posted some images of him and you know, posted about how I got to meet him and how he knew that I was using like the Vader moniker,
the likeness,
as far as music goes and stuff like that, because he had reposted it on Twitter and things like that. So when he was at WrestleCon, I went over and met him and talked to him for a second, got him to sign the poster and stuff like that. So it was good. And then
was it the that colorful poster where you kind of have like the mask on?
I still have that poster. Yep, so he signed that one, so I still have that in my man cave right now, signed from him. So that was like a highlight.
Man. So do you think like his passing was a little bit more impactful to you? Because he was pretty influential.
Yeah, I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, waking up this morning, hearing about it, like when I got up this morning, my phone was dead.
Yeah.
So when I put my phone on the charger and then cut it on, then that's like one of the first things that I see that somebody is instant messaging me saying like, oh man, Vader passed away. People leaving messages and stuff saying like, oh man, I know you're going to put out some fire music for about him because he passed away and stuff like that. Is just weird.
Yeah. Well, and for those Matt Maniacs who do not know, T-Call actually has he has a CD out. He has an album out called, what is it? Steel Chair Music?
No, that's a song.
That's one of the songs.
Yeah, me and Collateral did a project that was called Vader versus Foley.
Vader versus Foley.
And then I also did the project called Mad Vader. So I got kind of two Vader themed projects.
Yeah,
so.
So very relevant in these times, Matt Maniac. So if you don't know, you know, get on T-Call's. What, you got the Spotify page?
Yeah, you can find those. You can find those projects on my Bandcamp.
On the Bandcamp,
I believe. So yeah, if you search T-Call on Bandcamp, you'll be able to find the Mad Vader. Also, it's on my Instagram. I put the link in it. So I actually today took the Spotify link for my album out of my bio and put up the Bandcamp link for the Mad Vader project. So in his passing, if anybody wants to go listen to that, it's got a bunch of clips and interludes of him from when he was in WCW on there.
You should probably post it on the Twitter.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think, you know, but at the same time, I didn't want to like, oh, he's dead. Listen like to
ride,
my music.
Ride the wave.
Yeah, you know.
Right? Yeah. See, and I can respect that, but at the same time, I think for like fans like myself who want to celebrate the life of Big Van Vader, I mean, let's do all things Van Vader. Let's do all things Big Vader. You know, let's get the music out there. Let's get the art out there. Let's celebrate the life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll be posting that link on the Twitter soon, so you guys see it. I'll post it on mine. I'll also post it on the Matt Mania.
Yeah. Thank you.
Twitter. So, also we have some more deaths to talk about, unfortunately.
Oh boy! But before we ride into that,
it was a heavy week.
It was a heavy week, but I kind of want, because this is the Matt Mania podcast, I want to do one more dive, because I feel like my favorite.
Oh yeah, sorry, I think I skipped you. You wanted to do your favorite like Vader moment. Is
yeah,
that what you're doing? Yeah,
I think one of my favorite Vader moments was his entire 1992 run in WCW, because that run he was feuding with like,
is that
Sting.
Him and Sting?
Yeah, him and Sting. He even had a deal with, like, you know, Cactus Jack.
That's where the clips are from. That's on the Mad Vader. That's from him and Sting.
Isn't it 92 where he actually did, like, the moonsault? I hope it was, but at this, I mean,
Matt Maniacs, let us know. Correct him if he's wrong. But
get at the Twitter device. Throw it in your Google machines, boys and girls, and find out when he did that moonsault, because – But I remember 1992 going back into the annals of pro wrestling. I remember 1992 was one of the primo years for Big Van Vader. So big bucket of win. You know, respect, condolences for his entire family, and our best wishes go out to one of the pioneers, one of the strongest big men in pro wrestling, who, again, I will say, did it in New Japan with like Misawa, Kobashi. He did it with WCW with Sting, in WWF. He did it with Bigelow. He did it with Mankind. And Shawn Michaels.
Right. Unfortunately, I didn't stop home before I came here, or I would have my Vader shirt on right now.
It's okay. We'll leave it for another time.
We will forever know what time it is.
It's time.
It's Vader time. Thank you, Vader, for all you did for the sport.
Thank you, Big Van V. We love you, man. We appreciate you. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, man, even in the world of hip hop, we cannot, you know, escape the fact that, you know, people are falling, man. And there was a lot of mixed feelings out there on the social media platform, right? When it comes to,
definitely.
And XXXTentacion.
Yeah. And I know that you don't know much about them. So
all I know is what I saw. Unfortunately,
Rock hasn't made it here yet. Yeah. So, I mean, when he gets here, we might be able to talk a little bit more about him. But I don't even really want to get into, like...
The controversies?
Let's celebrate what he did
and
how people feel about that and things like that. Because he was being charged for those things. So
allegedly, he was going to go to court the next day for some of those things.
So I'm saying, like, in a court of law, he would have been charged for that.
Right,
that
proper.
That was for that to handle, part of it. No matter what he did... nobody deserves to get gunned down in the street.
Yeah, fuck. And it was like right in front of like a car dealership or some shit.
He was out shopping for motorcycles, I believe. A motorcycle dealership, and he was And people say that you know, like these young kids, they want to be seen, you know, and they're always on like
fuckboys out there.
The Instagram stories saying where they're at or their locations and things like that, and people are like, oh, people knew what kind of car he was driving and stuff like that. So I mean, it's just sad that unfortunately some people ran up on him and gunned him down and robbed him, is what I heard.
Because
he had money for, he was shopping for motorcycles.
Right, for motorcycle. Because that's what I saw. I was on Snapchat, and I saw that apparently he was seen withdrawing, you know, big amounts of cash for a purchase, was gunned down, was robbed.
Right, the bag was missing. So.
The bag was missing, and apparently the murderers are still at large.
Right.
And this was in Florida?
Yep.
Whew. Fuck, you don't fuck around.
So... you know, for fans of the podcast who might not be familiar and who XXXTentacion was, he has a album that you should be able to find on Spotify or iTunes or anything like that called 17. He was on XXL's freshman cover last year. So, I mean, there's music and there's video that you can find and look for him. I wasn't necessarily a fan of him, but as I say, nobody deserves to be gunned down like that.
Yeah,
and even at
man.
My show, even yeah. at my show last night, I took time out at my show to speak about this.
Yeah,
and had the show give him a moment of silence.
Yeah.
So, definitely sad. He was only 21.
Yeah.
Well,
and then I'll jump into another pro wrestling death. The death of Dario Cueto. The death of Dario Cueto from Lucha Underground, man. R.I.P. to...
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to Dario Cueto. Lucha Underground. He was the head promoter for two seasons of Lucha Underground. He was impactful. He was innovative. He was that man, that señor, that really put Lucha Underground on the map. So shout-outs to Dario Cueto.
Owner of the Aztec medallions.
Yeah, and big shout outs to his father, I think it's Antonio Cueto.
And his brother, the monster Matanza.
Matanza Cueto, who they're currently holding down Lucha Underground, so another RIP in the wrestling universe.
And we got another hip hop and
back into the hip hop universe.
RIP. Jimmy Wapo.
So maybe you could smart me up, because I had never heard of the dude, but obviously I'm a I'm a very casual hip hop head, I guess, nowadays. So, I mean, you said he was based out of
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, seeing as how he was in Pittsburgh, I don't know much about him.
Where?
I didn't deep dive to really find out who he is.
But
he's a street rapper.
Did they find out, like, the cause?
I think it was robbery. Ooh. They said that some people ran in his house. He got shot in the face.
God. In the face?
Yeah, he got shot in the face and rushed to the hospital where he was, I guess, pronounced dead at the hospital.
That sucks, man, because not even his family can give an open casket at that point, man.
So,
God.
I saw Wiz Khalifa put out a RIP about him. Mm. Wiz is also from Pittsburgh, so they might have had some dealings or some run-ins or, you know,
yeah,
knowing who he is, because that's just the soil that he's from.
Yeah.
And I saw some other people who I follow and know talking about him on Facebook and Twitter. So, I mean, some people, I'm sure, knew who he was.
Yeah.
And just unfortunately, I didn't until now. It's sad that I didn't know about this man until after his passing. But
yeah, again, another bucket of wind just gone too soon. And if you haven't already, I mean, just, you know, start tearing apart these archives and see if there's something that you might like.
Right.
I mean,
you know, music lives forever. So
music lives forever.
These guys, you know, they won't be forgotten because they've blessed us with enough music to listen to in these times.
This is where performers, artists, entertainers have infinite lives. When you can live, they can live forever through their recordings, through the feelings that they condone, through the feelings that they give you as a person.
And somebody else pointed this out, that they don't remember another time in music where, like, two rappers were gunned down and murdered in the same day.
Simultaneously, yeah.
You know, different parts of the world, but in the same day.
Man.
And it's crazy. And it's just like, it wasn't drug related. I know we've had rappers pass away, Lil P,
yeah,
others from overdosing and drugs and stuff like that. But this is just like people wanting to be seen, people wanting clout, which is the new word that everybody is using.
The cred.
Yeah, people wanting that. People just doing ignorant and dumb things to be seen. And the beef also, just all of the internet beef. And I don't know who the suspects are for any of these murders, but I'm just saying Triple X was out there publicly beefing with several different rappers.
Right.
You know, from what's his name, Tekashi 6ix9ine to Trippie Redd.
So a lot of those rappers in that freshman class, so to speak.
You know, that issues have happened.
Yeah.
Triple X even had got jumped on stage when he was, I believe, in LA.
Damn.
Due to his beef with another rapper out there. So it's like they're publicly beefing because they're trying to keep themselves relevant,
right,
in the social media era of
trying to draw
all of the video clips and stuff, and what people feel like is important or what makes people famous.
Stupid.
But that's not what we were here for. We're here for the music.
And what was Rock saying last episode, where these boys shoot first, right?
Uh-huh.
He was saying something like that, like these boys shoot first and they don't throw hands anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so we live in like such like a cowardice, you know, I guess, time, you know, it's pathetic. It really is pathetic.
So, yeah, four RIPs at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But we're done with that now. So.
So, again, if you can, please. You know, throw it in your Google machine to find out who these people were.
Yeah, go on your WWE Network or your YouTube and go watch some clips of Big Van Vader.
Yeah.
Go on.
You will not be disappointed.
Go on Spotify, listen to some XXXTentacion and some Jimmy Wapo. I don't know if he has music on Spotify, but I'm sure he's got something on YouTube.
Yeah.
Go find him and go look at the last two seasons of Lucha Underground.
It's on Netflix.
It's
on Netflix.
And for what's his name? Dario
Cueto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Es el hermano. El hermano.
What was the wheel called?
The Dario's Wheel of Doom.
Yeah, see, you don't want to miss stuff like that.
It's hilarious, man. He's good.
These guys will live on through music and visuals.
And through visuals. Well, boys and girls, Matt Maniacs, thank you for, again, tuning in to another episode. If this is your first time listening, you got lots of episodes to catch up on, so please sure to do that.
We're tag teaming this episode today.
It is a tag team today. Yeah, it's T-Call.
Head booker Mega Rand is on tour.
And
with Bag of Tricks.
With Bag of Tricks. Currently in L.A. or Vegas?
They were in Vegas last night.
It's Wednesday, so they might be in L.A.?
I don't know. I know they were in Vegas last night, and I know they're going to be back here
Friday. Right.
In Phoenix, Arizona is it the Monarch or the Marquee? Yeah,
at the Monarch.
Monarch.
Yeah, so, again, Thursday, this episode should be out Thursday, the latest. So, if you can get at me on the Twitter device, go to the NeoX, and if you're in Phoenix, Arizona.
You doing the ticket giveaway?
I'm doing the ticket giveaway, okay? So, you go to if you're in Phoenix, Arizona for the album release party, which is going to be a lit party, okay? Go to.
I'm going
to
be there.
We're going to be there. The Matt Mania podcast is going to be there, so. Again, slide into my DMs, show me a screenshot of a 5-star review, and I will get you a ticket into the album release party, and you can get a big-ass sweaty hug from Mega Ran, T-Call, and the Neo X.
And don't worry, we'll post the rules to that on the Twitter.
Yeah, it's no big deal, so we'll be all right.
And Rock Knowledge is not here right now because he is stuck at work.
Yeah, apparently his job is more important than the Matt Mania podcast, so whatever. He needs to get paid for some reason. Fuck that.
So don't worry, we'll hold it. We'll hold it down for these guys. We'll find out who's the snack of the week.
Snack of the week. But, you know, lots to cover in the world of professional wrestling and entertainment.
Since it's just you and me,
yeah,
we got through that RIPs pretty quick.
Not too bad.
We can jump into these putovers. We might be able to get through all of this wrestling.
Let's put it over, brother.
So go ahead.
All right. So, Matt Maniacs, as you know, the Neo X is a huge nerd. So he just finished the
nerd.
He just finished the entire Hunter x Hunter series. I definitely recommend the Chimera Ant arc, which was amazing. It made me cry. and then now I am starting on My Hero Academia, so I am on that right now, and it is beautiful. It's gorgeous. In my opinion, it's well drawn. It's got great story. If you listen or watch the dub versions, it is just as good as the Japanese versions, in my opinion. So it's a good anime to watch. So that's what I've been on. Shout outs to the girl Martha for putting me on to, you know, these cool animes, you know, and
where are you watching those animes? Is it on Funimation?
It's on Funimation. It is on the, I also watch a little bit of Crunchyroll, but Matt Maniacs, I will say that we currently do have a promo for all you anime lovers out there. It's actually a promo that Mega Ran has.
It's running through Funimation, correct?
It's running through Funimation. So, whoop, that's not it.
So all of you Mad Maniacs can join in, and you can join Funimation once he gives you the code, and then you can watch the same anime that the Neo X is watching, and then y'all can talk about it on the Twitter.
If I can get to the podcast description, jeez.
And also, I would love to know what our fans are out there watching. So if you guys are watching some anime, let us know.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great just to get on and let us know what you are listening to. It would be fun. And if you have any recommendations on some anime that I should be watching, get at me at the Neo X, because there's lots of anime that I probably need to catch up on. And you know what? I'll be sure to throw out the Funimation promo
at the end of the episode.
At the end of the episode, I will put it into the description on the podcast. So be on the lookout for that. I'm pretty sure it's something simple like Mega Ran at checkout. So be on the lookout for that to coming soon.
So you said that you wanted to talk about anime and
cosplayers. So my Twitter has been blowing up. with, I'm not sure if this is a new thing or an old thing, but my Twitter's been blowing up because apparently lots of people are shaming black cosplayers or cosplayers of color. And I think that's fucked up.
It's always been a thing, man.
You know, and you know, why do we need to have this stigma where, you know, you need to be a certain skin color to cosplay as a certain character? What's up with that? Like, we don't need that right now.
It's
nerdy people.
It's people thinking they own
anime people.
That they own the fandom and that they own these characters.
Yeah, but what happened to losing yourself in the whimsical idea of just, you know, being who inspires you? You know what I'm saying?
It's the same people who don't want to see Idris Elba be James Bond, you know?
Man.
Why can't he be James Bond? Because he's black and James Bond is white, right?
I mean, one perfect example is if, you know, one of our Matt Maniacs out there, she goes by Saya at Twitter. She's at Begins Like This. She actually cosplayed as like a Super Saiyan God Goku. She had like the turquoise colored dreads.
Uh-huh.
With the, you know, with the Goku getup, and she looks amazing, you know? And why can't we celebrate that? You know what I'm saying? And if you, I think the hashtag is black cosplay or hashtag cosplay anyway, and you're going to see all these people of color from different ethnicities just cosplaying, you know?
I think she also did a Captain America that was real dope.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I mean, but at the same time, like, we need to, like, celebrate this stuff. Like, you know, this is diversity that we need to be celebrating, that we need to be praising. Because, you know, at the end of the day, why should there be a barrier because I like Goku, you like Goku, but I'm Mexican and you're black and you're Indian or you're, you know, Middle Eastern? Why can't we all look like Goku? Or I'm sorry, why can't we all dress like Goku? Because he is that person that bonds us. He is that person. He is that middle ground for all of us, all of us people of different ethnicities.
Right.
That's just like pro wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had conversations with people about New Japan, about ROH from across the country and maybe even across the globe. Like, it's, do yourself a favor, break down the barriers, okay? Put your barriers into the walls of Jericho, break them down, and just appreciate the fact that people are going out of their way to do amazing cosplays to honor the people that they appreciate, praise, love, and adore, okay? That's what I'm saying about cosplay anyway, black cosplayers, and you know what? Just keep doing what you're doing. And if you know what, even one more, okay? I'm on this tirade right now, all right? I want you to get it, T-Call. Suck it. Come on down. So, you know, share with
thanks for setting me up.
Share with the Matt Mania podcast or share with the Matt Mania Instagram. Show us your beautiful cosplays if you are a person of color. Or even if you're a white person, just show us what you love to cosplay about, okay? We appreciate cosplayers across the rainbow spectrum. That's why nerdy people of color exist. That's why the NPC collective exists, because that's, we're here to become advocates of social change, okay?
So Neo, let me ask you about this. Did you hear?
Ask me.
Did you hear about? Did you hear about how the I'm gonna be mad because I don't know her name and I'm not looking it up right now to tell you who she is.
Okay.
But the chick who was just in the new Star Wars playing opposite Finn.
That Asian girl?
Yeah, she played Rose.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't up on the mic good enough. But yeah. So she apparently was getting bullied so much online that she left Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
From Star Wars fans.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you, Star Wars fans, who being a little bitch about stuff. Jeez.
And that's Neo X take on that.
She's canon, motherfuckers. All right? She is canon to the stories. Thank you, Deke. Deal with it. Okay? She is pertinent to the storyline. She is Finn's anchor, okay? In these newest movies. So just appreciate Rose and what she brings to the table. She basically saved Finn's life, okay?
All right. That she did do.
So why are you hating on her because she's Asian?
Hating on her because she's Asian, hating on her because
maybe she's a little thick.
Because they felt like that Finn and her storyline was not important in the movie. Just hating on her because she's a woman.
That's awful.
In Star Wars.
That's awful.
Hating on her because she's a woman of color in Star Wars. Just all types of reasons why they could be hating. But
this she's is a I thick brought, Asian girl.
I brought this up because of what you were talking about. Because as I was saying,
I'm kind of heated.
People, the fans think that they own the fandom.
Yeah, fuck those.
And fans. That is like. They're trying to hijack the show like wrestling fans.
They're trying to get themselves over. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers. Man. That just goes to show you how pro wrestling is so... It correlates to anything at this point. You know, people just trying to get themselves over. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So, anime. You know, cosplay anyway. Black cosplay. And then, I guess on a lighter note, I've been playing a lot of, well, not a lot of, I started playing God of War. I rented it from GameStop.
What? You can rent games from GameStop?
No. Oh. All right, so.
Oh, you're renting it because you're going to be returning it, so.
So, Blogvar, Zach, friend of the show, best friend of the show, he remembers, he and I would be talking, he's like, we would be talking one day, he's like, well, that game just came out? I'm like. Yeah, they just came out. And then he, like, turns to me. He's like, well, fuck, I guess I'll just ghetto rent it. I'm like, Zach, what you mean you're going to ghetto rent it? He's like, I'll just buy it at GameStop and return it. I was like, oh, that's a thing? He's like, dude, I mean, because Zach and I both worked at GameStop. So we kind of know all the ins and outs of GameStop. He's like, yeah, I think I'll just do that. So, mind you, okay, you'll pay full price for the game for sure. You know, a pre-owned game, mind you. But you got 7 days to return it. No questions asked. So. Oh,
for cash?
Like yeah, for full refund? You get your full refund. So
this is a life hack?
This is a little life hack, yeah. So if you're not on, like, Gamefly or whatever, and you got 50 – I mean, let's just be honest, though. To buy God of War pre-owned, it's $54. Uh-huh. It's a pretty steep price tag.
Yeah, but if you're getting that back,
you're gonna get that back,
right?
You know,
and you said for 7 days. So yeah. As long as you got time in 7 days to beat this game,
so I got till Saturday, right? And I've only played up to the first chapter, so
he might not beat it.
I might,
but he had fun trying. But,
you know, I might have to borrow it from Mega Ran. So I mean, I'll see when he gets back. I'll see if he lets me borrow it.
I remember when Blockbuster was a thing.
Man, I love Blockbuster.
That we would go rent a game, like if our game was fucked up, and we would just replace it with
broken game. Oh, you're that asshole.
Like a scratched up PlayStation game or something, or like a game that you were blowing in, the 64 that wasn't working, like just...
You replaced with that cart.
Right, but you're saying I'm that person, but then we were doing that again with Redbox. Because when Redbox had games.
Yeah, and movies and like, Blu-rays.
It's like, yeah, like, oh man, my Xbox, this... game is scratched up.
Swap skis.
Swap it out.
I'm gonna tell you a GameStop story that kind of correlates with like Redbox and all that shit. All right. So I used to manage. Oh, here we go. All right. So I used to manage the GameStop inside a Metro Center Mall.
Okay.
The one inside. Y'all people from Phoenix, y'all know. Okay. So I used to manage that GameStop.
You didn't know Mega Ran at this time, did you?
I didn't know Mega Ran at this time.
Damn, I bet you he's mad that he didn't know you when you were working at it. You know Mega Ran used to work at GameStop?
Well, you know, I did know that, but and I actually learned about Mega Ran's music from GameStop because some of his street team would drop off some of the Black Materia flyers in my GameStop, and I would put them out there, and I was like, holy shit, like, you know, hip-hop and video games? Okay. And that's where I got put onto Mega Ran's music was because I was working at GameStop. But I digress. So when Redbox was a thing, there was this hack where you can buy a gift card and you can rent movies.
Oh yeah, they stopped that.
They stopped that. But you could like put $15 on a gift card, rent, you know, 15 video games for $15. You can come into GameStop and sell them and maybe make $50 in cash, and no one was the wiser.
Because you were renting it with a gift card.
Right.
So
they couldn't.
They couldn't charge you.
They couldn't charge you if you could not return it. And people at GameStop, I mean, you know, I'm a GameStop manager. I'm like, oh shit. Well, my trade-in quota needs to be X amount. All right, I'll take these stolen games.
Right. And you also don't care if they have cases.
I don't give a fuck. I'll make my own cases. Exactly. I'll even draw on them. So yeah, that was one of those things. And I'm not going to lie, all right? If I knew you stole from, like, GameStop, or I'm sorry, if I knew you stole from, like, Amazon or Redbox.
He was going to try to haggle you down.
I will haggle you down. I will haggle you down. I'm like, all right, dog, you're going to give me, like, 15 games? They all worth a nickel because they ain't got cases. So I was that guy, too.
Like, hey, why does got this Redbox sticker in the middle ring? What's that about?
Like, I know, and the number one excuse was like, you know what? I forgot to take it back, and I don't want to play it anymore, so I figured I'd just give it to you guys.
Well, you know, the other thing is that, like, if you keep a red box for so long, they make you pay for it.
They make you pay for it. But if you had that gift card gimmick, there's nothing to charge.
No, but I'm saying if somebody told you that, like, I didn't return it, so it's mine now, and now I'm trying to sell it. Like, it does make, that's a logical excuse because I've got caught slipping. Trust me, and I don't use Redbox anymore. They caught me twice, and they never catch me with something that is like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind keeping this. It's always something that's like, man, this bullshit that I watched or didn't even finish watching, and now I got to pay $50 for it.
It's like a $31.
Yeah,
it's like
$30.
$30 copy of, like, Madea's Christmas episode.
No, fucking Life of Pi. I had to fucking buy Life of Pi.
You get your money's worth?
Because it was sitting in my backseat of my car, and I was riding around with it, and I'm just like, I'll get to the red box eventually.
Eventually.
Nah. Didn't happen like that. Life of Pi was not worth $30.
Are you sure? Didn't it win an Emmy or an Oscar?
I'm saying me and someone else could have went and saw that and not spent $30.
Oh, man, that's rich. So yeah, a little bit out there for you. So that was my putover. What about you, T-Call? What you got to put over?
So I didn't initially have anything to put over.
Yeah.
Which most of the time when I get here, I don't. But
facts.
Talking to Neo X off mic, we were talking about anime and stuff, what he was going to put over, and it got me talking about anime and other things, which got us talking about Ninja Turtles, which was funny. So I'm going to turn that into my putover. My putover is going to be about how I'm going to put over, like, it's like a nostalgia put over. I'm putting over the original Ninja Turtles movie.
The original.
You should see it if you haven't.
I can probably quote that movie like the back of my hand.
Jim Henson's people did the fucking suits.
Yeah, they're like bona fide Muppets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta show you this one thing. So.
And.
Why you go fuck, ahead? Go ahead.
Fuck the Ninja Turtle rap. From fuck
ninja,
fuck
ninja,
go ninja, go
ninja, ninja rap.
Yeah, we were talking about how most people are probably have the nostalgia goggles on, and they think that Secret of the Ooze is like the best Turtles because I was one of them.
Yeah, but
if you go back and rewatch these as an adult,
hey, yo, can you drop the facts though on the Matt Maniacs?
Oh, what I told you about?
Yeah, what she told me, what blew my mind.
So in the second Ninja Turtles,
in
movie,
the second
Secret
Ninja
of the
Turtles.
Ooze, none of the turtles use weapons.
None
in that whole movie.
Of the turtles use their weapons.
All of their weapons stay on their back. His stick, Leonardo's
the
swords.
Bow staff, katanas.
Katanas, nunchucks.
Nunchucks.
Nothing gets used.
And the size.
The only thing they use is, like, in the beginning fight scene, they use, like, yo-yos and ties and nunchuck sausages.
Yeah, yeah. You're saying Michelangelo uses sausage chucks.
Yes.
And then I pointed out that, yeah, Donatello used this dude's tie, you know, kind of as like a sling.
Yeah.
But that's it.
But that's it.
But not, that's it.
Not their weapons that they have on them.
Not their traditional ninja weapons.
And also the fact that in other countries, even the scenes of Michelangelo using the nunchuck sausages got cut. Because parents were so upset.
He's throwing wieners.
In this kid's movie, in the first one, that the turtles are using all of their weapons, that they took the weapons out of this one. And that's what makes the first one the best. Remember Raphael fighting Casey Jones?
Yeah.
Fucking size
with everything.
To bats and hockey sticks.
Yeah. Like when they were their first conflict in the park, Casey Jones hits him with a bat and a cricket, you know?
Yeah.
A whole sacred sacred bat. Tell me.
Tell me you didn't pay
money for this. Ooh. That sticker run. It's 2-for-1 sale, pal.
I mean, also the fact that it was the grittier, darker take on the movie, the first one.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about, you had Master Splinter almost die. You had Raphael almost die.
And you know, they definitely did a lot of character development in the first one where, you know, you find out what drives Leonardo, what drives Donatello, what drives Raphael and Michelangelo.
Yeah.
You know, and
They had the stuff in place. They had Raphael and Leonardo's like conflict. Being the bitterness of him not being like number one, right, or wanting to lead the team, feeling like Leonardo was weak and him wanting to get out and
fight. Oh, so that's the plan of a great leader, huh? Just sit here on our butts. I never said I was a great leader, right? Yeah, where you sure act like it sometimes. Well, yeah, you act like a jerk sometimes, you know that? And this attitude of yours isn't helping very much. Oh, yeah? Well, maybe I'll take my attitude and leave. Good. Why don't you? Yeah, good, great. Go ahead. We don't need you.
Sing. Yo, and that is the attitude of some teenage turtles.
That's some teenage turtles.
They were going through puberty.
So,
and they also had to fight crime, and they were on a strict diet of fucking pizza,
which
would probably piss anybody off. Once it's time to go to the bathroom, and you constipated from all that cheese.
It just blocks you up. But yo, like real, I gotta show you this. NECA released the original 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys. So check this out. Tell me.
I saw those.
Isn't that dope?
And I honestly want to say that I think Steve has those. You know Steve I'm talking about?
What a lucky guy.
Well, man, he makes good money.
So. You know, like we're talking like exclusive 7-inch scale figurines that perfectly match like the 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Those are awesome. I want them all. How much are they? I want the whole set.
Yeah, the full set price is $125. It's worth it. I mean, honestly, NECA, NECA, they make the best toys. They even make like my favorite Contra toys and Alien toys. So, I have like the only NECA toy or figure collectible that I have is the 1989 Batman from the Batman NES video game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only one I have. But I would love to get my hands on the Ninja Turtle one. So.
Hey, so we do have a Patreon. If any of Matt Maniacs would like to join our Patreon for exclusive interviews and podcasts and music and all things like that and giveaways and stuff like that,
we have
help us buy these 7-inch turtle figures.
They are required for the recording studio, okay? They give us morale. They boost our image. Plus, we have shirt giveaways, exclusive tracks. We have behind-the-scenes footage. There's lots to buy for the Patreon members. Okay, so you Matt Maniacs better get out there and support. We appreciate you.
And look, it's four of us, so we can each get a turtle.
We can each get a turtle
if we buy the full set.
So was there a turtle, T Call? Was there a turtle that you related more towards?
I'm probably Raphael is my favorite.
You're a hothead.
It ain't. I mean, he's a hothead, but I don't think it's necessarily about being a hothead. He was just like the more, I guess the more action would be about him when you're watching the turtles, because he is the hothead. And he's like quick to jump into battle or you know going out on his own. So I like him more. I mean, Michelangelo is obviously like the fun guy,
the party dude,
and Donatello is you know
the brains behind the bunch.
But when you were a kid, did you have Ninja Turtle toys?
Yeah.
I had so many Ninja Turtle toys when I was a kid. and I see some of them come back, like with the collectibles and the guys that are doing
right,
stuff.
Right,
like I had like Baxter Stockman when he was the Fly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I had that one. Like I had the weird, I like the weird ones. Like I had like the rabbit from the Japanese when they went back in time.
Yojimbo.
Yep. Like I had stuff like that. Like I had who else? Like just like the off villains, like
Leatherhead.
Yes, that was the alligator,
yeah,
right?
That was the alligator, like Leatherhead,
and he was dressed up like a hunter or something.
Yeah, from like the from like the outback.
Yeah,
like Leatherhead. I remember even what was it? I don't want to. What was it? Rat King. Rat King.
Yep, I had him.
He looked like a mummy.
Yeah, he looked like Splinter, but he was but wrapped up like a mummy,
yeah,
right?
Rat King, Leatherhead. I had a Slasher, which was like the
was that the dinosaurs that were on there? Because didn't they have a like dinosaur crossover or something where it was like a Triceratops?
Like dude? They did have a Triceratops dude in the cartoons.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about in the cartoons.
But it never made it to the mainstream. Okay. Yeah, like but I know what you're talking about because I remember even playing like the arcade game or like the Turtles in Time where they did like a prehistoric.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a bunch of cool stuff. So shout out to Ninja Turtles,
those,
man.
Those toys were awesome. I had the van, the turtle.
You had a turtle van?
Yeah, that shot the pizzas.
The pizza discs. Man, I'm so jealous.
I had that.
I had of course the Core Four. I had Casey Jones. I had Yojimbo also. The rabbit, and I also had like some of like the I don't know what you would call them, like the variants where you would have like Donatello in like basketball gear or in like
yeah, a, I remember
or like
those.
In a coat, yeah, you know, the like the cloak and dagger, yeah I would have that, or I would have like the you know, just the different variants of some of the turtles.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Like I think the only bad guys that I had a Bebop, I had a Rocksteady, and
you
I had
any Foot Clans?
I had one Foot Clan, and I remember one of my favorite prized possessions growing up as a kid, I had like a limited edition fuzzy fur Master Splinter. So what, like not the plastic one, but like the one where you would touch it and it felt like faux fur. So that was one of my prized possessions. And then when our house burned down back in the day, I lost it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
R.I.P. Master Splinter.
All right. R.I.P. Fuzzy Fur Master Splinter. He was my guy.
Yeah. So, that's my put over. I feel like everybody.
Well, I appreciate that.
I feel like everybody should, if you're a parent and you have kids, your kids should watch that. You might want to watch it with them.
Yeah, 19.
That's a movie that's, like, darker than what we remember it being. So,
you need to watch The Ninja Turtles from 1990.
Yes.
The best.
The original
Ninja
Turtles.
The original. So it's probably the best one. So yeah. Get at that.
Way better than the Michael Bay Turtles.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to get started. I don't even want to get down that path. Let's talk some wrestling.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk some wrestle.
We're here.
Let's talk some Colossal Tussle.
Let's talk some NXT TakeOver.
Well, before that, let's dip into some of the news. Okay, it's Wednesday. Let's dip into some of the news here. I think one of the biggest things is Big Cass.
Big news for Big Cass.
Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, goodbye.
And this just goes to show you that, like, being an asshole behind the scenes, is not healthy for your contract.
Don't be a casshole behind the scenes.
No.
All right.
Happened to Enzo. And I mean, Enzo might have got released publicly for other reasons, but he also was causing trouble backstage.
Well, he was a casshole too.
No, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it makes it makes it easier to be like, oh, okay,
yeah,
well, you got this going on, but you also got a dick. So
and so some of you Matt Maniacs might not know, but some of you might because you're smart marks and you have fedoras. Apparently Big Casshole was actually he was just a dick on the European tour, all right? He had attitude issues and allegedly was being, like, publicly intoxicated.
And they're allegedly saying that he was let go for disobeying Vince McMahon orders when it came to the...
When he beat that little guy up.
Yeah.
When he beat the small man, the dwarf,
yes,
whatever.
The vertically challenged.
The vertically challenged. Can we say midget?
I didn't say that.
Can I say midget?
Well, you said it.
Okay.
But I didn't.
So, again, so Casshole, very bad attitude. He was a drunk pre-med midget beater and deserved to be let go. And honestly, I think we were kind of talking about it in the group chat where, like, he wasn't even doing anything relevant, you know? Right. But at the same time, like, if it was me, you know, smart Mark booking 101, I would have had him around just to put over talent. And maybe he was complacent with that, but he probably wasn't. So, I mean, they just, hey, let him go.
And people also said, I don't know who said this, but it was just like, who would have thought, I think Mega Ray might have said this in the group chat, that when Enzo and Cass debuted, that both Enzo and Cass would be gone and without winning a tag title.
And who's left from that group, quote unquote?
Carmella.
Mella is money.
With the title and reincarnated.
With the title.
Reincarnated with Ellsworth.
So, yeah.
The reincarnated Ellsworth. Who saw that coming? And, I mean, that is news.
That is the business. And I think the other piece of wrestling news that I wanted to go over, we already talked about Big Van Vader, but Rey Mysterio, you know, I think he actually, San Diego wanted to honor Rey Mysterio on 619
day.
Yeah, 619 day. So, I mean, check that out. I mean, again, pro wrestling just crossing over and making a name for themselves on the national level. There is an actual factual Rey Mysterio Day. Shout outs to Rey Mysterio, man. One of the goats.
Shout that out, especially the fact that he killed somebody with the 619 before.
Oh, yeah, one of the perros de mal, you know, from way back when. Whoo, but yeah, I mean, to be honest, my dude that died already had neck problems.
Yeah,
that was probably like the nail in the coffin, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I mean, think about that. Pro wrestlers now getting their own or you know, statewide, or I mean, I will recognize it as a national holiday. I'll get that shit off next year. All right. So that just goes to show you. Another bit of wrestling news, which was a little bit earlier in the game, but Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus the New Day.
Yeah,
wasn't E3. That cool at E3? I know we talked about it a little bit, but guess who won that Street Fighter tournament?
Kenny Omega.
Kenny.
He came back from a 2-0 deficit and beat all three.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
All right. So.
Go ahead and tell
me. All right. Okay. All right. This is just me. All right, because I play Street Fighter a lot. Not necessarily 5, all right, but I can still get down on 5, all right? Now, this is just my opinion, but I feel like Kenny Omega threw a lot of those matches. Like, it's really hard for me to say, but I'll just say it. I guess no disrespects to Xavier Wood, friend of the show, all right? He's a mad maniac. But I feel like Kenny Omega might have given him a little bit of a pass, because I've seen watching Kenny Omega make those kinds of comebacks and punishes makes me feel like he gave Xavier Woods, you know, some wins.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
So here's the big question.
All right.
Out of all the times that you've seen Xavier Woods, have you two played Street Fighter?
No, but I'm sure I can fuck him up.
That's the question. So you think that you can beat Xavier Woods in Street Fighter?
Hands down.
Xavier Woods, we have a challenge.
Yeah.
The Neo X is challenging you next time you are in the Phoenix, Arizona area. You know where Cobra Arcade is.
And I'll say this, all right? When we were at Cobra, we played NBA Jam. We were partners.
Uh-huh.
We dominated NBA Jam. He played Tekken. I was just his coin holder and his drink holder, which was fine. But he got down on that, and he got down on Dragon Ball Z's, Dragon Ball Fighters. I'm sorry. But if he would step in the realm of Street Fighter, I'd probably mop him up too. So that's just me. So it was entertaining. Don't get me wrong, because they're cutting promos back and forth. And the suspense, that they built the suspense up, which makes it just as entertaining. But at the end of the day, just looking at Kenny Omega space out his attacks and kind of poke here and there, he had lots of opportunities to punish, and he never did punish. So that just goes to show me, I feel like Kenny Omega just kind of built up and made this entertaining to watch.
Well, it was entertaining, and they set out to do something, and they did it. So,
and they did.
So congrats to both the New Day and Kenny Omega and the Elite and the Young Bucks. And speaking of that, I have one more tidbit of news.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Not sure if you saw it yet, but they have
Smart me up, brother.
They have announced that.
Smart me up.
I'm about to. Let me let you know this announcement. Ugh. They announced that All In will be televised.
Woo!
So they haven't announced where you can get it at yet, but they have announced on Twitter that it will be.
They're going to stream it.
Stream, because they want everybody to be able to experience All In.
The actual wrestling event.
Yes.
Not StarCast.
No.
Okay.
The wrestling event.
The wrestling event. Okay.
Televised. So for all of those people who weren't able to get tickets because of all the scalper incidents and who just weren't going to go out to Chicago anyway but felt left out that they couldn't be a part of, you know, what was going on.
So if you're half in, like the Matt Mania podcast,
right, then we can still see it.
Because we can still watch it.
If we're half in still when we get there,
yeah,
then we might end up watching it in the hotel room or something.
Why not? You know? Why not? So that just goes to show you, lots of good things coming.
Yep.
And check this out too. AJ Styles confirmed to be the cover for WWE 2K19. Isn't that dope?
New news. More news.
More news.
But we broke that news on the Matt Mania Instagram.
We did. At the same time, though, think about it. Like, AJ Styles, he actually put out that $1 million challenge. Did you hear about that?
No.
So he put out a $1 million challenge.
To beat him in the game?
To beat him in the game. Mind you, you would have to go through another tournament. So AJ Styles is like the final boss. You know what I'm saying? So I am hoping that 2K... 2019 is a great game, because 2K18 and 17 have been the drizzling shits. I played those games and they sucked.
The last one 18. Has 18 has a lot of bugs in it. The one before that I enjoyed. It wasn't as glitchy.
And you know, 2K18 was on the right track, where you can go about, you know, backstage and, you know, talk to people and you know, do stuff. That was fun and everything, but it just, like, when you got into the actual ring, it was just shit. It was just a shit show. So I GameStop rented that one too. So yeah, that one's gone. But
it's super exciting. It's great.
Yeah, video games. For him,
he has not been in the WWE for very long at all.
And right.
He's like just skyrocketed to the cover.
Yeah.
So
he's the cover of
the
that.
The cover. Who else has been the cover? You got Brock Lesnar, you got
Stone Cold,
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Seth Rollins
was just 18, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was 18. I think Lesnar
Brock was 17.
Was it Brock or Kurt? It was probably Brock.
No, I think it was that was the one where it was Brock, and if you got deluxe version, it was Kurt.
I thought it was Stone Cold, then Brock.
Yeah, that's why I said Brock was 17.
Oh, okay, my bad. All right, yeah. So, yeah. So, there's that.
Yeah, so he's joining some high-class, you know, goddamn fucking wrestling stars there. Let's hope it isn't a curse for him.
Goddamn fucking wrestling stars.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And then plus, too, if you go to the up, down, down YouTube page ran by a friend of the show, Xavier Woods, AJ Styles has he has his own channel or sub channel on that show called like the Retro Styles Clash or Retro Styles something, where he actually jumps into, you know, like, you know, old school wrestling or old school video games, which is one of my favorites. So I appreciate that for sure. But yeah, I mean, they're making waves in this video game world, and there's lots to do. So wrestling's making a huge impact.
Yes, sir. No
pun intended.
Don't get left behind.
Don't get left behind. What do you say? Do you want to? We're about 60 minutes in. Is there anything specific you want to cover, like NXT TakeOver or Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I want to go through some NXT TakeOver because NXT TakeOver Chicago 2 was awesome.
Was probably way better than the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, in my opinion.
And they've been on a roll with that lately.
I mean,
being the better show of the weekend.
And you and I already talked off mic where we're talking about what our favorite shows were of that card. And my favorite card was the opening match of the Undisputed Era with Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. Adam Cole, you know, mind you, on the sidelines. They went up against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Superior tag team excellence, in my opinion. Just like strong style, brutal competition. Like, it felt like a legit competition. Like, both teams were in it to win it. And, you know, your retaining tag team champions, the NXT, was the Undisputed Era. However, if you're a smart mark, you probably saw that they unfortunately lost the titles to Mustache Mountain at NXT UK. So, that's news.
Yeah.
If you didn't know.
So. I didn't read it when it popped up on my notifications because it said spoilers included.
Spoilers. So the Undisputed Era, unfortunately, they did drop the straps, but they did defend them perfectly well against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. In my opinion, that was probably like a 4.5-star match.
Man, I don't even know what I can say about this.
That was amazing.
Of NXT TakeOver Chicago,
super green.
Just all the matches. I mean, super green. That was a great match. You had Ricochet and Velveteen Dream, which both of those guys are stars. I mean, Ricochet just like cemented that guy's a star.
Yeah.
And
yo, shout out to Velveteen Dream too. He came out
with the Prince Puma pants.
In Prince Puma pants and Hulk Hogan like gimmick boas and headbands. How fucking cool is that?
Doing his taunts to the crowd.
Doing the taunt, doing the Hogan taunts, doing the ooh yeah, brother. Yeah. And hey, that don't work for me, brother.
But, so. I mean, you had Ricochet winning that match. He did a shooting star to the middle of the ring, shooting but that one he caught knees in that one, but he finished it with the 630.
Yeah, the 630 senton. Yeah. That was amazing.
A thing of beauty. The Aleister Black and
Lars Sullivan.
Man.
Bald, a.k.a. Bald Bull.
I'm a huge Lars Sullivan fan. Yeah. Like that guy, and I know they're going to screw him up when he gets up to WWE, but I would put the rocket on that man's back. I would love to see Lars Sullivan and
Bald Bull
and Braun Strowman fight.
And like a program. Yeah.
But that was a match that match was like strength versus speed, just like him being able to kept talking about him catching the black mass kick and then he started, he was looking so good. I think that was once he started going after his knee so that he couldn't do it, he gave him a chop block, then he gave him the cow hook or something where he had the knee over his neck.
Stretch muffler.
That's not what they called it, but.
That's what it is. That's what it's called.
That's what they were doing.
When you have the knee over the neck, it's called stretch muffler.
Yeah, he was doing that, working on his knee. So, yeah, but Aleister Black still pulled it out.
Damn. And he's reigning, defending. Aleister Black is the NXT champion. Who do you think he's going to step up? Who do you think is next to step up against Aleister Black?
Shit, I don't know.
All right.
I honestly don't, because I'm trying to think, like, who is, like, singles that's, like, in that league right now.
Adam Cole, baby.
But Adam's got a strap. That's why I don't think. That's why I don't think him. That was the only reason why.
He can have two straps.
And then you have the had the grudge match to close things out. You know, you don't even get the NXT championship.
Yeah,
match
right.
You
that's
get
like
Johnny Gargano and
your head guy is not even you know putting the bow on NXT TakeOver Chicago.
No, you got Johnny Gargano and
Tommaso Ciampa
in a street fight.
And in a legitimate street fight, like
they went
all over the place, which you haven't seen since the Attitude Era. So kudos to those boys. They put down a clinic and they put a big exclamation mark, on that feud. It was amazing.
Tommaso Ciampa is another guy who, man, I can't wait to see him go to the main roster.
You can't sleep on that dude. Although he's like. He's basically like a 205 live guy, but you can see him in that same vein as like Finn Balor. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm just like his image. That's what I'm talking about. And it's the thing that I'm worried about is like how Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are so interlocked that it's like I feel like him and Gargano are gonna be like that. Like, is his personality or is his image going to shine through when it's not placed against Gargano?
I hope so.
You know, because right now he's like the most hated guy in NXT. I love it. He comes out with no music. Like, that villain image that he portrays, like, I want that to be able to happen in the main roster. But I feel like that it's all circumstantial based off of who he's against.
Like, you can't buy his merch. You can't buy his shirts. There's no Tommaso Ciampa anything out there.
He's like, not following anybody.
He's not following anybody. He blocks everybody. Like, he is the embodiment of what a heel should be in 2018, for sure.
And I'm loving every second of it.
I would love it if he blocked me. Just saying. Blah. Yeah, man. NXT TakeOver Chicago definitely was, I think, head over heels versus Money in the Bank, man. Because Money in the Bank, it had about 11 matches.
You know, it's like it's style versus substance, you know?
It's style versus substance. And then plus you had a gimmick pay-per-view, you know, that still couldn't shine outside of a pure wrestling event, which was TakeOver. Yeah. You know, because if you really read into it, Money in the Bank is a gimmick pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
surprised that it's one that's still going on, but you know it's because it's
the contract.
Yeah,
the contract. A big thing. Yeah, and speaking of,
it's
like
something that's like Carmella held hers for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Like it's something that you can just continually use.
And let's dive into these contract winnings because I think they're the most hype of the actual shows.
I mean, there's a couple of high points in Money in the Bank. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest high points were for me, and I'll just say them off was. I like Rollins versus Elias, and I like AJ versus Nakamura because it was a physical match.
AJ versus Nakamura was good.
Yeah,
you had Ellsworth returning again that I said, which was a surprise.
Yeah, when Carmella defeated Asuka for the second time.
Yep, when we saw that Ellsworth was dressed up like Asuka,
how turtle like was that fucking wink? Like he like unmasked himself and he's like. Ah!
I'm just like,
never. He twerked his entire head and neck just to do a wink.
I had no idea it was going to be him. I thought it was going to be one of the chicks from what are those chicks called? The ones that came in from NXT?
Absolution?
No, the ones who've been helping Carmella beat up Charlotte.
Oh, the Iconics.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be one of the Iconic chicks. So that was a surprise. Alexa Bliss winning the women's Money in the Bank.
Yo, and she won that by the skin of her teeth.
I was surprised that it was her and her cashing in.
She did a Dean Ambrose.
Cashed it right in.
She pulled a Dean Ambrose.
Beat the crap out of Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax. And no offense, but Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax were having a good match.
Yeah, you know, be that as it may, I mean, with the judo flips and the you know, quote unquote stiff punches, they had a really good match.
Yeah,
I liked it. Like I wanted to see more, but it was cut short. Yeah.
So you have that, and then you also have, the men's Money in the Bank match, which was the the closing, and which we all knew was going to steal the show as far as Money in the Bank. Yeah,
there was Monster in the Bank, Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
But how wicked was the fact that Kevin Owens took that 20-foot ladder bump?
Yeah, I knew that was about to happen.
That was crazy. And then Braun Strowman was buried in a rack of ladders, but suddenly came back from the dead and then like punctured or ran his way through a ladder and then again just dominated everyone. But I think the highlights in that match was like Finn doing the coup de grace from like an 18-foot ladder against Bob Roode. The triple what do they call it? The triple camel clutch that Rusev did, or was attempting to do. He did one of those, and
oh yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, he did the double one, and then he tried to do the triple one.
He tried to do a triple stack. So, I mean, the card was still fun. Like in my opinion, it was still fun to watch. It had its low points, like Roman versus Jinder, and Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. It had a lot of low points, but at the same time, it was still fun to watch. I'll give it that much.
So, people brought this up, that how does Braun cash in on somebody who's never there? And maybe you can help me out with this, because I don't know the ins and outs of the contract.
Yeah.
With that contract, can he just set a match up, or is it only like you have to bust in on a match?
I want to say that it's pretty flexible where you just have to cash it in.
And during a match, any place,
any time. So I thought.
But I'm saying he can't use that to be like, I have this contract. I want to fight Brock at
his hotel. Whatever.
Whatever. No, not at his hotel. Just like at SummerSlam.
But see, am
I? Can he do that?
No. It needs to be like, he needs to have an official come with him. He needs to cash it in. At the time of, and he has to be present.
So if it's Brock and Roman at SummerSlam, do you see him cashing in?
It could be, because that cash in, I want to say it's false count anywhere and no rules.
When you cash it in. Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, get at me. But in my opinion, I always thought that's what it was. Like, it was false counts everywhere, because they say it's a guaranteed contract to cash in at any time.
But I don't think so, because I feel like when Alexa cashed it in, she made sure that she beat Nia with the briefcase before she cashed
again,
it in.
Again, no rules.
But no, she did that before she cashed it in. She
already had. So she got the DQ. So Nia won with the DQ because she hit Ronda Rousey first.
I know, but then she started beating Nia with the case. But before she cashed it in. So
but what, again, the
if
match
she
would have
cashed it in, would she be able to still use a weapon?
The match was over.
Yeah, but her match was starting. You know what I'm saying?
No, okay. When the bell rung, does that count as a match? I think you're right. I think it counts as a legit match.
Yeah, so.
But I've seen cash-ins where they hit him over the head with a briefcase, start the match, and then take the pin. Like, I think Edge and Sheamus did that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, I don't know if it's no DQ you start the match that you cashed in.
If you work for the WWE, get at the Matt Mania Twitter.
We know a few of you who do.
And let us know.
But I don't know how.
If you can send us a screenshot of that rule book.
Right, I was going to say, I don't know how brushed up on the rules you guys are.
We'd appreciate that, though.
Even refs didn't know that your feet have to touch the ground first when you exit the cage.
Poor Roman. But yeah.
That's why the big dog thinks that he's the champ. He says it's his title.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see. So we're it's gonna be fun. And surprisingly, I know we got a couple more minutes left, but
did
I think
you want to run through anything of Raw SmackDown?
I just wanted to say that
I can leave that all up to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that they were amazing shows. Like they were.
People should watch them.
Yeah, people should
both
watch.
Raw and SmackDown was amazing this week.
Yeah, Raw and SmackDown. I think some of the biggest things that kind of stuck out to me was like Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler. That was a great match. The B team imitating the deleters of worlds, Bray Wyatt And Matt Hardy was hilarious to watch.
I might have to see that.
You gotta. It was really fun to watch. It really was. So I recommend, you know, take the time to watch Raw and SmackDown. And then, of course, Ronda Rousey, she basically did a tirade against Alexa Bliss and Kurt Angle and unfortunately got suspended. But I think, like, the best thing of the night was, again, that Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler. Unfortunately, he lost the strap. But at the same time, it kind of, like, lights a fuel under Seth Rollins, of course.
Well, yeah, he he lost the strap. This guy. He lost the strap so that he can move up.
Strap. Yep. So
because he's going to move up into that main title picture.
Yeah,
he's,
but, I mean, you got Strowman with that Money in the Bank. It's going to be kind of hard.
No, because like you said, like, and we've talked about it before, like, Seth has been having an awesome year. Like,
yeah.
So I can see, like, his year propelling him up to – remember we were talking about, like, oh, what if Seth beats Brock and then Roman could never beat Brock, so then that makes Seth and Roman
Seth
feud.
Roman feud,
or
yeah.
Something like that. So, I mean,
yeah.
that's a legitimate reason for him to
yeah.
to drop the strap.
To drop
I'm
it.
I'm glad Dolph has it.
So, that was that.
So, now him and McIntyre got some gold.
McIntyre. And I think the best thing that stood out with...
And then also, sorry, but yeah, now... Yeah. But now because everybody's expecting McIntyre and Dolph to feud eventually.
Yeah, so at then, one point or another, yeah.
So then it could be about the title.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think the best thing from SmackDown was that entire gauntlet match that, you know, was hellacious and was fun to watch. But at the end of the day, Rusev Day is going to have the title match against AJ Styles at Extreme Rules.
Woo!
So happy Rusev Day to everyone. And... That's gonna
and
be,
for y'all who don't know, Extreme Rules falls on Rusev Day.
Yeah, it falls on Rusev Day. You can't deny that. So, I mean, lots to do in the world of professional wrestling. New Japan is currently on the Kizuna Road, I believe it's what it's called. And ROH is still continuing to develop momentum around their pay-per-views. So, I mean, lots to watch out there. And, of course, Lucha Underground is out now. So, be sure that you're watching... You know, all the action-packed adventures of Lucha Underground. The first episode of the newest Lucha Underground was Aztec Warfare. So how fucking cool was that, you know?
Can't wait to go catch up on
Gotta that. Watch it. So, again, Matt Maniacs, you know.
Man, only two guys here today, and we still went 80 minutes.
But, man, there's just so much to cover.
It is. I mean, we could have did way more covering of Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we always say, is way too much wrestling in a week to watch. It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
It's what we call good problems.
But let us know what your opinions are on the state of professional wrestling. Let us know what your thoughts are. We'd love to interact with you. Again, this is an interactive show. This show is powered by the souls and the feelings of all the Matt Maniacs out there. So continue to show your support and your love. And, you know, be sure to support the product and share it with your friends and family. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. So, as always, this is T-Call.
This is NeoX. And I want to say, of course, remember to continue to show your support on ProWrestlingTees.com. Search the Matt Mania podcast and pick up the freshest edition of the Matt Mania podcast T-shirt. Remember, we have a Patreon page as well. And we would love to have your support as you continue to support us, obviously, in our endeavors here at the Matt Mania podcast.
And we are trying to buy those turtle action figures. So
we need those turtle action figures.
We definitely need your support.
Los necesito. Again, share your best cosplay with the Matt Mania podcast. Share all your wrestling stories about Big Van Vader and Dario Cueto. And if you're a hip-hop head, don't hesitate to get at Rock Knowledge, T-Call, NeoX, and Megaran about, you know, what you're listening to. Because,
right.
You know, this
catch
is...
Catch Megaran out on tour.
Catch Megaran out on tour. Go to Megaran.com/shows to catch where the teacher rapper hero will be blessing the stage in your local show. And go to the store, pick up some sweet-ass merch, and go to the podcast page to catch up on old episodes. We really, definitely really appreciate that. Teague, you got any shows?
I have a show this Saturday.
Woo!
We will be opening up for Elzai and Crisis.
Crisis.
As they tour off of their new album that they just put out, Jericho Jackson.
Yeah.
So you can catch me at Club Red in Mesa doing that.
Hopefully to see you there. It's going to be a fun show. And again, Matt Maniacs, we definitely appreciate you guys. Want to thank you again for showing your support. And as always,
also want to give a shout out to DigiLab Studios, where we record at every Wednesday,
where we bless your ear holes every Wednesday
on 24th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah.
Throw it in your Google machine. Go to DigiLabs. Google DigiLabs AZ.
Yeah,
you will find the directions. You will find the website.
I mean, come on, people. As I think I've said this to you before,
get the deals.
We don't have to spoon feed you. You're totally capable of loading it up into your Googles.
Use your thumbs.
And finding out where people...
Use your thumbs.
I work... Where I work at, people will call.
People thumb you.
And people will call there and ask us how long...
Hey.
What time do you close?
Can I get a weenie?
And in my head, I'm just like, well, didn't you look us up to get our number? So if you looked us up to get our number, then you see what time we close.
Like, hey, man. Hey, man. Can I get a weenie and a bun?
Yeah, you wouldn't. No more weenies and buns for you.
Hey, man.
He's going to run a train on them chicken fingers.
Can I get a weenie and a bun?
Hey, Matt Maniacs, we out of here.
Hey, we out of here.
And as always, keep your shoulders off the mat.
Kick out!
Dum, dum, dum.
We did it.
We did it. We did it. Mm. Oh, we did it.
Mm? Where's Rock?